I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, I am providing you a safe space of independent, bordering on journalism here, but certainly a safe space for independent thought, beholden to no party, no politician. I'm running the Underground Railroad out of the two-party system here for a couple hours a day. Today's Friday. Next hour, we'll do False Flag Friday. Boy, have I been vindicated on one stance I took, one kind of out there stance. It was, I believe I talked about it at the time, it was me and Tucker Carlson versus the world a couple of years ago when they tried to slip one past us on these false flags, and that has been pretty much fully exposed now, so in an effort to boost my credibility, which I think should be high, to be honest with you, I think I've gotten a lot of stuff right. It's not always popular. We deal in facts in this show for a couple hours a day. So we'll do False Flag Friday, and then this week on the crazy train. And it'll be very upbeat because I've got a lot of kind of musicals from the left. I'm not a big musicals fan. It's funny, though, when somebody invites me to go to the theater, I went to see Jersey Boys, and I've seen some other ones. I really enjoy going to those things, but you know, I'm not the guy that's going to go see Mamma Mia at the movie theater. But I've got some very catchy little kind of Broadway tunes. They're Broadway propaganda tunes. But it'll certainly lighten up the mood of the last half hour of the show today. So stick around for that. We'll get to it then. Quotes of the day today. This is William S. Burroughs says, quote, "After a shooting spree, they always want to take the guns away from the people who didn't do it. I sure as hell wouldn't want to live in a society where the only people allowed guns are the police and the military." That's William S. Burroughs. Now, that's an interesting take. I think that it's lost a little bit on conservatives. Conservatives, Republicans rightfully point out and make the argument that, you know, you can pass all the gun laws you want to. Funny thing is, criminals don't abide by these laws. And you're exactly right. Laws are... If you're planning on committing the crime of murder, yeah, you're not real concerned whether or not you're legally possessing the firearm. That's not number one on your list. You've already pretty much committed to committing a crime. The left cannot seem to understand this. But I think on the right, the one thing you kind of miss is the reason for the Second Amendment is also because you don't want to live in a country where only the police and the military have firearms, because that is how totalitarian governments take over. Too many conservatives believe that the military and the police are that line of defense for all of us, when actually we are our own line of defense. And then this was an interesting one. Nassim Taleb, he's the guy who's written The Black Swan. He's written several books. And he had this to say, people need to be blinded by knowledge. We are made to follow leaders who can gather people together because the advantages of being in groups trump the disadvantages of being alone. It has been more profitable for us to bind together in the wrong direction than to be alone in the right one. Those who have followed the assertive idiot rather than the introspective wise person have passed us some of their genes. This is apparent from a social pathology. Psychopaths rule rally followers. And so he's right. It's very interesting in human nature. You know, I'm very big here on this show against being in the tribe. As I say, I'm running the Underground Railroad away from the two-party system. But it is a thing inherent to us that we want to belong to a tribe. It's why sports are so popular. You want to be in a group of people. You want to go tailgate with like-minded people and all get together on the same side of the stadium and cheer for the same team. That is actually kind of bred into us because for so long you needed that tribe to even survive and stay alive. You couldn't hunt and protect yourself and do everything that you needed to do all alone. The nomads or the loners were very susceptible. So we got this. We were kind of bred to be parts of big groups. The problem is, usually the leaders, the psychopaths who take control of these groups, are the ones who rally the followers, and that has been the problem with humanity going on hundreds of thousands of years. I don't guess there's really on a societal basis, I don't guess there's a cure for that, but I certainly do not follow psychopaths myself. Speaking of blindly following psychopaths, I saw in the headlines this morning, we are now actually experimenting on six-month-old children with these brand-new experimental vaccines. Six-month-old children. Of course, this is in a country that has currently got about 500,000 children under the age of two on antidepressant drugs. So we don't really hold, you know, the newborn baby that's still developing, we don't really hold that with a great deal of regard. We don't have a whole lot of respect for maybe just letting God do his thing with the child as they develop naturally. We feel like we need to intervene, don't we? Child cries a lot. Obviously, it's from lack of enough Prozac in their system. We are now experimenting with children as young as 6 months old. This is a group, the six-month-olds, the toddlers amongst us, really anybody under the age of 18, which are all open for experiments right now. They're running trials on these people, on these children, and they are statistically immune from COVID, from any bad outcomes of COVID. They may catch it, they may spread it, they may have a slight case, feel a little punky for a couple of days, but statistically, they are immune to any bad outcomes from COVID. Yes, there'll be some anecdotal stories here or there. They'll definitely rush to somebody on the news when they find a child who was stricken down with horrible reaction to COVID in some way, shape, or form. But statistically, it's zero. They're immune. So here's what we're doing. So if they are immune to COVID-19, why are we testing out brand new experimental gene therapies on these children who are still developing, I remind you, as young as 6 months old? They tell us that we are doing this because we need to have the children inoculated. Again, the children who are immune to this disease anyway. We need to inject this chemical and this new gene therapy into them so that they keep older generations safe, so that we get the herd immunity that we need. Now, there's certainly a lot of immunologists, a lot of virologists, a lot of doctors, a lot of people in the medical establishment that will tell you, well, these kids will probably get it and develop natural antibodies to it, and that'll lead us to herd immunity. The problem is that doesn't make any money for the pharmaceutical company, so we've got to make sure that we're testing on six-month-old babies to see if we can inoculate them to protect the older people. See, they want to get herd immunity, so they want to give shots to young people for no reason, not for the child themselves. Again, right? There's no risk to this age group. We're not doing it for them. We are actually going to inoculate children with an experimental vaccine to protect us. So if I get this straight, when I look at this, if I've got this straight, let me just make sure I've got this straight. Not only do we have a country of adults who are sitting by and letting a bunch of politicians spend our children's inheritance just so that we can remain comfortable, right? We don't want the economy to go down. We don't want to suffer a job loss. We don't want the stock market to go down and us lose anything in our 401ks. So we're perfectly fine picking the pockets of our children and our grandchildren, just decimating, hollowing out the financial core of the United States to leave nothing but a husk, a shell of our former country for our children to inherit. We're fine doing that. And now we are going to actually experiment on them, not for their own good, but so that us older adults who are scared of coronavirus can somehow reach herd immunity faster for our own comfort again. I don't know another way to look at this. I think I've got this right. We're not inoculating the children for their own good because they're immune to coronavirus, to bad outcomes from coronavirus. It's not for them. It's for us. So we're going to take their money. We're going to experiment on them. Anything to keep us fine. If you were over any of us, I throw myself in here. I don't know if this makes people angry or not, but I think it's a time for some. We need some level of introspection, some self-reflection. If you out there, and I am one of you, over 35 years old in the United States, we have got to be the most selfish generations of people to have ever existed in the United States of America, because if any other generations prior to ours, and I'm mentioning the baby boomers, the Gen Xers, of which I am, if any other generations had been as self-absorbed, as narcissistic, as self-serving as us, we never would have made it this far. I inherited a pretty decent country, but it was on the it was the opening. You know, I was born right before they took us off the gold standard. Nobody seemed to really have a problem with that. He said, "Oh, that's fine, Nixon." But it's just stunning to me. We will do anything to the next generation of children as long as it serves us. Catherine Austin Fitz had done a piece a while back, something called the Red Button Theory. And she would ask a room full of people, you know, do you want to see the United States return to a sound footing and, you know, all these things? Do you think they should stop printing money and all of the, and everybody raised their hand. Of course, we want that. And she said, well, let me imagine I give you a big red button and you could push it and they'd stop printing money and taking on new debt and all these other things. The problem is your entire 401k gets wiped out. Would you do that? And I think she said out of 100 people, one person raised their hand. Yeah. We want all these things to happen unless it affects us. And now we're actually doing a chemical experiment on our children to keep our generations safe from coronavirus. Our self-absorption knows no bounds. I've got a caller on the air. Carl, are you with me? Yep. Oh, they bolted. So... I got to tell you, I mean, I'm without speech. I'm just as incensed by this as I was when I found out that we were putting two-year-olds on antipsychotics and antidepressant medications. There are parents out there doing, and there's parents who have got their children out there volunteering to be studied on with these vaccines. They have no idea what these things do to you after 2 years, and they sure as hell don't know what they do to you if your immune system and your brain and your bones and your organs are still developing. Absolutely amazing stuff. But this is where we are, you know. I was looking at some of the financial news. I'm going to get to Joe Biden's speech. We're going to get to it. I promise you. Someone asked me yesterday, have you watched it yet? I said, no, I'm saving it. I've been having trouble sleeping lately, so I figured I could crank it up about the time I was getting ready to go to bed. And I figured, Uncle Joe would get me about 5 minutes into his presentation and I'd be out like a light. And I was right. It was pretty boring, but we'll talk about a few of the details to it. But just real quick, when I talk about this, the generation that we have become, I mean, I, like I say, this may make people mad. No, it's not our fault. It's the millennials' fault, or it's somebody else's fault, or it's just the Democrats' fault. Well, I got to tell you, it seems to me like everybody's participating. I don't hear any conservatives outraged that they're experimenting on six-year-old children. I didn't see Republicans up in arms about the spending under the Trump administration. Oh, they're exercised about it now. Didn't really seem to have a problem when Donald Trump was signing $2.3 trillion spending bills, when his deficits were running $1 trillion a year. After the extreme surge in income and spending in January, as government handouts gushed across the nation, analysts expected February to see some give back, more on the income side than on the spending side. They were right. Americans' income fell 7.1% month over month in February. It was the largest drop ever recorded. This is the largest month-over-month decline in Americans' income on record in February. But wait. It gets better. See, they had the stimmies went out in January, right? So you had a big income gain, spending gains in January, and then in February, oh, incomes dropped, the most on record. But wait. That's all right. It came around. Americans earned an additional $1.1 trillion last year, the most ever to date, dating back to 1930, thanks entirely to stimulus checks and other government aid. Total U.S. personal income rose 6.1% last year to $19.7 trillion as a surge in pandemic-era aid outpaced gains in wages, property values, and other sources of wealth, according to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. See, everybody is looking with Biden in office now, with Joe Biden and all these lefties behind him and just as nut bar as the Democrat Party has gotten. We're all really worried about him ushering in socialism, right? It's just the problem is we didn't pay attention to the fact that Trump was rolling it out as well. We had it last year. $1.1 trillion in additional way, it outpaced everything else. And then January comes and income spike because of the stimmies. In February, we have an all-time crash because the stimmies got cut off. And in March, with the brand new stimmies, income has rose again, I believe, month over month, another record amount of new income. This is the United States. Shame on every one of us that's over 35 years old in this country. What did we allow them to do to us, America?
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We were talking back in the office earlier with Fraser Riddell from smalltownmusic.com. Y'all go see him. If you're getting into music, you got kids who want music stuff, definitely check out Fraser's stuff. The guy knows what he is doing. And we need to support these local businesses. I was over by the Morrison Brothers over in Ridgeland where they had moved. I think it was their second to last move. They've since closed, I believe. I don't know if I take that back if they exist in some form, but they used to have I spent so much time at Morrison Brothers. It was a locally owned music store back in the 1980s, back when I was a high school, early college rocker, going in there and playing guitar and checking out all the effects pedals and everything else. It was great. I hate to see that we have dwindled in our local retailers when it comes to music stuff. So check out smalltownmusic.com if you're looking to do something music-wise. But we were talking back in the office right before I came on air. Conversation got over to kind of the dollar stores and stuff. How long before the dollar stores are no longer dollar stores? You know, they used to be the five and dime stores. Remember that? So if you go down to the five and dime, you get things for a nickel and a dime. Then it became the dollar store. I went into a Dollar General not long ago. I don't know how that name of the store has any bearing on their inventory whatsoever. I don't think I saw anything in there for a dollar. It's basically just a store. I don't know what, I guess the general part, you know, it's a dollar generally, or maybe it's just we take dollars, you know, in general, but it has nothing to do with the dollar. But I mean, what is it going to be, the $10, you know, the what do you call a C note is 100. What do you call a $10 bill? They're going to have to change all of these names. The dollar store. And the funny thing is, too, I don't think people really realize with all these stimmy checks and all this stuff, as we lurch hard left socialist under Republicans and Democrats, and we've now personal incomes in the United States, economic activity is entirely driven by, well, entirely. That is hyperbole. A lot of people are out there working for a living. But either the increase in the economy or the massive decreases in the economy are all heavily weighted by whether or not Uncle Fed is sending out us any fresh cash. First, they take it from us every month, and then they send us back, you know, 5% of what they take. Just imagine, and this is my point always when I say, you know, I rail here against the income tax. I'm the only conservative for some reason that will come out and tell you that it's theft. The rest of conservatives now have bought into the whole idea of taxation. But if giving us back 5% of what they take from us a year and some little stimmy check, boosts spending and boosts savings and does all this great stuff for our economy. Just imagine if they gave us the other 95% back. Imagine what our economy would be if we didn't have federal income taxes. We might actually be self-sufficient, maybe even here in Mississippi. We might not need bailouts every single year from the federal government. But the funny thing about all of these stimmies that I think is really lost on a lot of people, you know, I'm a financial nerd. I look at the statistics. You should see the trade deficits we're running up, which means people are taking their stimmies and buying stuff from anyone? China. You think the stimmies are boosting the American economy? You can't imagine what it's doing for China. They got log jams at the ports. They can't get their products in here fast enough. We're buying so much Chinese-made stuff and other imports that we buy here. The stimulus money. There is a chart. I wish I had a visual medium to get to you with sometimes. There's a chart I saw the other day. It's about money velocity. Don't go to sleep. It's actually interesting. Money velocity is essentially how many times a dollar turns over in the United States, meaning as the money moves through society. You should see this chart. It starts in like the 1960s, peaks in like the mid to late 1990s, and it is like a child's playground slide heading down to where we are right now, meaning the money's not circulating in the United States anymore. It's not a dollar coming to me from an employer going to somebody here who uses it with somebody else here in the United States. I mean, it's basically comes to me or comes to somebody, and then boom, it's out of the country. It's gone, never to be seen of again. Either that or it's the billionaire class who doesn't, you know, they have massive amounts of money that they don't turn over. They actually park somewhere. It's just an absolute economic disaster for our country. Nobody sees that. Nobody wants to hear me talk about M2, money velocity. I understand that's not sexy. Give me a minute. We're going to get to the Biden speech. I know that's where the sexy stuff is. And there were some things in there that need to be pointed out. Biden is an absolute train wreck. There's no doubt about that. But it goes back to what I was talking about, Catherine Austin Fitch. You know, if you thought you could hand over a solvent country to your children, but you had to really sacrifice. Maybe you couldn't take that retirement that you wanted to, because all of our lifestyles really are just facilitated by debt, either on a personal level or on a governmental level, largely on a governmental level. I mean, even your 401k. Oh, Mike, I earned my money. I put it in my 401k. I've got a few a few hundred thousand dollars in my retirement account. I earned that money. The reason your 401k is where it is because they're printing money and people are buying stocks with it. Your 401k has nothing to do with your scrimping and saving. Proud of you for doing it. I'm not mad at you, but let's be real here. You are benefiting from this system that is looting this country for a future generation. So if that red button came in front of you and you said, well, I guess I could see my 401k go down by 80%, but by God, I'd leave my children a country that was solvent and going to give them the same opportunities I was given. Would you push that button? Listening to Catherine Austin Fitz is about 1% of people who would actually sacrifice themselves to leave our children a solvent country. That is a sad testimony of where we are right now. Like I said, all right, when I come back, we'll get after Joe Biden. There was plenty to go after. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So Joe Biden did his first propaganda conference, press conference yesterday. I think pretty much every speech any politician gives is really, it's propaganda, but we like to call them press conferences, things like that. But they did get him out in front of some reporters. 62 minutes, apparently, is how long this thing was. And I just have to think that the drug cocktail that they used to keep him standing straight up and talking at the same time, it has yet to be revealed, but I would imagine it could have some serious industrial and military uses. I mean, we're always looking for ways in the United States to be competitive and improve productivity. To get Joe Biden to stand up for 62 minutes and talk at the same time, there was something seriously going on with him internally, chemically, to make that happen. And I would say that certainly the military could benefit from that kind of technology. So we'll see. Of course, he had a hand-picked friendly press corps, you know, because COVID, right? Oh, yeah, they couldn't let just everybody in there. They had limited room. Everybody's spaced out like a bunch of nut jobs in there with their masks on. These are all people who have been tested. Most of them, I'm sure, have been vaccinated. Yet they continue the COVID theater of well-spaced out chairs and face masks for the press. The first thing that I heard in the Joe Biden thing, and again, I didn't watch this from the beginning, so I may be disjointed in how some of these clips came through in the speech. But the first thing that I heard either reported or quoted or whatever was this numbnuts reporter who asks Joe Biden what he's 6 weeks into office, something like that. 8 weeks, 12, I don't know. He's 2 months into office. And this numbnuts ask him, are you going to run for re-election? They ask a 78-year-old man with 2 months worth of experience whether he's going to run for re-election in 4 years. This is the ridiculousness of our political system. There's an article in the AP right now that's talking about Republicans who are going to Iowa right now, you know, to kind of test the waters. This is how silly we've become right now. To ask a 78-year-old man if he's going to run for re-election at 82, not knowing any what his track record is going to be. Now, I would imagine most people listening, we kind of know what Joe Biden's track record is going to be after his first 4 years. It's going to be absolutely horrible. But the idea that that was even a question to ask 2 months into his term, whether he's going to, and the even sadder thing is that politicians are just such scumbags. They're so phony that Joe Biden couldn't even within himself just go, hell, I don't know. I'm a 78 years old. At some point, I might want to retire. Technically, he may be retired now. Is it considered retired if you get to just sleep all day and someone tells you what to say a few times a day? But why in the world wouldn't he just say something? He felt the need to say yes. He just felt like, you know, that was the political answer that you get. Well, of course I plan on running again. Why wouldn't you just go, I don't know. I'm 2 months into this gig. Stupid question, stupid answer. And really quite insane. I'm still looking for, if you want to email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I've gotten a few guesses. I'm logging them. When do you think Joe Biden's replaced? I've got May of 2020. I had one guy send me one in. He thinks it's a stroke on Christmas Day this year. I told him that was a kind of a dark prediction. One of the few days of the year where people really kind of tune out politics. They're going to hijack the news cycle and get us all watching television because Joe Biden's going to strike out. But, you know, that may mean that the guy's right, because they will certainly do what they need to destroy family gatherings and inject politics into it. But anyway, the press conference, you know, I thought it was kind of funny just because when I started watching a little bit of this thing and pulling some clips, and one of the first things, I'll just play a little bit of this right now. And then, you know, Donald Trump made a big deal that I thought was fantastic about Jeb Bush being low energy. I loved watching Jeb Bush squirm. Please clap. But you want to talk about low energy. And I don't know how far into the press conference this was, but I mean, seriously.
So I'm going to say something outrageous. I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done.
I've never heard anybody say, I'm going to say something outrageous that was as uninteresting as that. Usually that would kind of make you sit up and take notice, but he can't even get excitement in that statement.
United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway, I'm ready to get locked down. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about.
I'd like to do, I'm looking at this on a video feed, how I've got these clips. I would like to do a side-by-side. There's something with Joe Biden's eyes. This is where I think the drug cocktail comes into play. Something going on with those eyes. They appear to just be black. Kind of black and bugged out. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of, if you remember the Poltergeist movies. Oh, look, I'm old. We all have our references. But there was the kind of the creepy old man in the Poltergeist movies with the paper-thin skin and kind of the bulging eyes. That's what Joe Biden reminds me of. Every single time I see him now, I think of Poltergeist. I can't remember. I've got to get a clip from that old man. He said something. He had some big line in that movie. This was Joe Biden talking about access to border facilities. This is the Joe Biden. Every administration does this. They talk about how transparent they're going to be. Barack Obama made a big deal. They always say, we're going to be the most transparent administration ever. In Joe Biden's transparent administration, the other day, a few days ago, they allowed one camera into a border facility. One camera. In a carefully managed, and even the reporter who was reporting on the story when I saw it, when they were taking it through this, they said one camera was allowed, and they said it was a heavily managed photo shoot. They showed some kids playing soccer. They showed some classrooms. Everything very nice and neat and tidy and clean. That's North Korea type stuff. That's where we are. An honest news media would be outraged about this. Now, they are complaining a little bit. They're asking him the question. You'll hear his answer. They're asking him the question, yeah, when are you going to let us come down there, that kind of thing. They should be. And again, if Trump had done this, of course, we know they would go ballistic. This is North Korea style stuff. Have you ever seen documentaries about North Korea or China? Essentially, what happens is they sign off on a reporter, and then they take them through with a bunch of communist handlers. They take them. You can shoot that. You can't talk to anybody. You can shoot this. Then we're going here. No, you can't go there. And when you get done filming, we need to see the footage, and we'll edit it out, and then we'll give you what you can take, and then you can release it to the world. North Korea is very, very big. I've seen documentaries on North Korea where they go around with a handler, you know, to make North Korea still look like, as Kim Jong-un tells his people, just the greatest country on planet Earth. And China does the same thing. It's propaganda and censorship, and they're trying to put this face on what they actually are. This is exactly what the Joe Biden administration is doing. It is North Korea-style stuff. This is the most that our media can say about it, though.
So I'm going to say something outrageous. Yep. I have never...
Yeah, did I pull the clip twice here? Let me see if I get the right one here. Yeah, here we go. All right, this is Biden on the facilities.
At the migrant facilities at the U.S. border, will you commit to allowing journalists to have access to the facilities that are overcrowded moving forward?
I will commit when my plan very shortly is underway to let you have access to not just them, but to other facilities as well.
Let's be able to have access to the facilities. We've obviously been allowed to be inside one, but we haven't seen the facilities in which children are packed together to really give the American people a chance to see that. Will you commit to transparency on this issue?
I will commit to transparency. And as soon as I...
Hey, he told you when he took office he was going to be the most transparent administration in history of the United States. I mean, come on. He commits to it again. Kristen Welker with NBC, one of the just absolute worst networks, worst reporters What would the tone of that question have been under a Trump administration? You think it would have been, hey, any chance we could get some cameras down there? Will you commit to letting us do this? Yeah, right. There was actually one clip. I'm not going to have a ton of time for these things. I'm almost glad. I don't give a crap what this guy says, to be honest with you. I don't like press conferences anyway. They're propaganda. Doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat, they tell you what you want to hear. They twist, they spin, they obfuscate, they avoid. This is what press conferences are. We have a massively corrupt and dishonest government. You can't go out and be honest in public about the goings-on of our government in any administration. So this is what these things always are. But Biden makes a point. I'm going to come back with a second. I think he actually makes a kind of good point, but for a different reason than what most people might think. Now, most people will listen to this and think it's a terrible answer. I'll explain to you why I think his answer has actually got some merit when it talks about why are people coming to the United States. So I'll be right back. Stay with you.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I don't have a whole lot of time to get to Joe Biden clips. That's probably a good thing for all of us. It was just not much of anything said last night. The press was despicable. Joe Biden is really pretty ridiculous. So, let me see if I can find this one clip, though. Okay, yeah, here it is. He's going to talk about, why people are coming here. And I think this is going to be widely criticized on conservative media. Of course, the nature of this show is I have a different take than many people in the conservative realm.
Way.
Well, I can't guarantee that. But I know, that old thing, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. You know as well as I do. You cover it. You have it's not like somebody sitting on a hand-hewn table in Guatemala, somewhere in Mexico or in Guadalupe saying, I got a great idea. Let's sell everything we have. Give it to a coyote. Have them take our kids across the border into a desert where they don't speak the language. Won't that be fun? Let's go. That's not how it happens. People don't want to leave. When my great-grandfather got in a coffin ship in the Irish Sea, expectation was he going to live long enough?
Okay, yeah. Joe Biden telling us when he, going to tell us tales of when he emigrated over here in 1874. I think a lot of conservatives, this idea of people not wanting to come to this country. I think a lot of conservatives, judging by comments and other things I've heard on conservative media, is this idea that, well, they're running up here to get all the benefits and get all these other things. I actually agree with Joe Biden on this, but for another reason. And if he or anybody else besides me would explain the big reason that Mexico was such a wreck and why people are fleeing to come to the United States, because many of them are fleeing. Now, a lot of people will say, well, they're coming up here because we're offering them free health care and free college and free this and free that. And I mean, there's something to that now. I mean, the Democrats really are basically, trying to attract them. But it is a big leap. I don't know about how many of you out there want to pack up your family and go to a country where you don't speak the language. even if you thought you could get some welfare or something. Now, if you're in abject poverty, that might be a little bit more attractive. But why are these people in Mexico in such a bad shape there anyway, where coming to America to get on welfare, and really that's not typically the Hispanic thing. I mean, I don't think many of us argue that a lot of people come from Mexico here to work. This is, we talk about it, lowering wages and all these other types of things, because they do come to work. But the reason that Mexico is such a wreck, and the reason many of these people are fleeing for their lives and having to leave, would you want to leave your entire support structure, all of your friends, all of your family? Unless you, there were some motivating reasons. And if he, and again, if Biden or anybody else would explain this, and then we might actually solve it, is the drug war has decimated Mexico. Not drugs. Not the actual drugs, as destructive as they can be on an individual basis to people who use them. And that includes alcohol, right? We know people who have had alcohol problems, but we know that prohibition was a disaster in this country. The drug war has decimated Mexico. It has become a narco-terror state. So you can build your walls, which they will cut their way through, or they will find another way into this country. But the wall's never going to be built. I told you that, I think, in January of 2017, when Trump first was inaugurated. I was agnostic about the wall. I said, a wall could help in certain areas, but it's just never going to happen. This is what I said over and over. It wasn't that I was taking a stance against it. I just said, it's never going to happen, and I was right. It's never going to happen. So if you are truly, if your concern is flooding our country with illegal immigration through our southern border, you got to end the drug war. Mexico is a narco state. The government, the military, the police forces there are run by violent, bloodthirsty, narco-terror cartels that only got this power and this money to take over an entire country because of the black market nature of drugs, which creates these gangs. It's so easy. Now, if you want to act emotional about the drug war, that's fine. And look, I know I talk about this a lot, but I mean, it's the issue, isn't it? If we want to talk about the border, are we not allowed to talk about maybe one of the big causes of people coming north to the United States out of? And look, we got our problems here with drugs and gangs, and the inner cities are in bad shape because of the drug war, because we've created gangs in the inner cities here. But our government, now at the top levels, our government, you know, the reason we're in Afghanistan is the poppy fields, but we don't have a government that's just run by drug money that is, we don't have every cop on the take from a cartel here in the United States, so we're safer than we are than they are in Mexico. We've got to end this drug war. If you're serious, I mean, if you really want to do what it takes to stop this flood, we could turn Mexico into a southern Canada. Just by ending this drug war would change things dramatically. Instead, we're going to send billions of dollars. Biden talked about it. He's going to send billions of dollars, as did Trump and Obama and Bush. They all send millions, billions of dollars down to Mexico and all kinds of little programs for them to try to help this country out, when all they really have to do is undo the drug war. End it. You would make a huge difference across the southern border if only somebody would explain that to us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Fridays at 10 o'clock, I do a little funky thing here to try to, I mean, I guess I would consider it waking people up, letting you watch the news in a different way, particularly when it comes to foreign policy. I think conservatives have been very blind about, I was a big warmonger back in the 1990s. still makes me, I think I'm doing penance for that right now, being the what I believe is probably the most strident anti-war guy out there on the right, on radio in this area. And trying to run this segment called False Flag Friday is all about letting people understand that you cannot trust what is told to you, because they have lied us into war after war after war after war throughout the history of the United States, and other countries do this too. This is not uniquely American. We learned it from somewhere else, but it happens. But one of the first things that people need to do when you hear of some action, some aggression, and here's the thing, here's the tough part. Even if it's a country you don't like, Donald Trump told you for 4 years what an existential threat Iran was to us. So a lot of Trump supporters still believe that we need to get out of Afghanistan, we need to get out of Iraq, we need to get out of Libya, we need to get out of Syria, but we still need to face off with Iran, because Trump said Iran we still needed to handle. So even when it's one of these countries that you don't like, you still need to be very suspicious when they come out and tell us that there was some aggressive act. Because I can, either the act may not be what they say it is, or it was preceded by five aggressive acts by the other side that went unreported. This is part of the playbook. I'm playing this to hopefully bolster my credibility a tiny bit with some people, because I talked about this the day it happened. When they talked about Syria gassing its own people, I was sitting right here in this chair, in this studio, and the day that it happened, I said, that's ridiculous. It made no logical sense. The United States was talking about withdrawing troops from Syria within weeks. And we were told by the intelligence services, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, those kinds of people, that Assad had just gassed his own people. That somehow, for some reason, the leader of Syria did the one thing that meant that America would not get out of his country, which is what he wanted. He wanted the Americans gone. He wanted America to stop funding the terrorists that were trying to topple his government. But we were they told us that he did the one thing that assured continuing American involvement in his country. And I knew it didn't pass the smell test the minute it happened. Well, the proof is in now. And Tucker Carlson, back when this happened, Tucker was the only one. The only one out there who was really kind of taking this on from the day it started. And I think I did several segments at the time called Mike and Tucker versus the World. But he had Aaron Matei on talking about, and I want you to listen to how the Trump administration, I don't want to say this. I didn't want this. I voted for Trump in 2016. I take no pleasure in this, but he hired the worst foreign policy team to accomplish the goals of getting us out of the Middle East, in things like Mike Pompeo, Robert O'Brien, John Bolton, Elliot Abrams. These are warmongers. Trump surrounded himself with warmongers. And so when you hear this, understand that this investigation into Syria gassing its own people and them wanting to go to the UN, the whistleblowers wanting to go to the UN were blocked by the United States. I just want to make sure we have the memory here of a goldfish. This didn't happen during the Biden administration. This happened during the Trump administration.
Turn you. Aaron Matei is a journalist with The Gray Zone. He's been covering the story from the very beginning, unlike everyone else, and he joins us tonight to assess. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on. It sounds like they threw this back in the face of certainly of you and of this show. Oh, we were right all along. It sounds like this report really was compromised.
They're talking about the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons that goes and investigates any charges of chemical weapons being used. And they released a report that said that they found evidence that chemical weapons had been used, and they blamed the Assad regime in Syria. But people who actually were on the ground, I think they may explain a little bit of this in the clip, but people who were actually doing the investigating on the ground said, oh, hey, wait, that's not what we said. We didn't say that. We didn't find any evidence of this stuff. And you'll listen to what Mike Pompeo's State Department did. I don't know if Nikki Haley was still ambassador to the UN at the time. But what Nikki Haley at the UN did when these whistleblowers wanted to speak to the UN and say, hey, we didn't find any evidence of this stuff.
Tucker, first of all, thanks for having me and for covering this global scandal, which has not gotten the attention that it deserves. The facts here are overwhelming. The original OPCW team that went to Syria did not find any evidence of a chemical weapons attack in Douma. They wrote up their findings in a report. That report was suppressed and kept from the public. They were then removed from the investigation and replaced by officials who had never set foot in Syria, who then put out a final report that excluded the key scientific findings of the original team and reached unsupported conclusions. And this is not just an allegation from two whistleblowers. It's documented in a damning series of leaks that have come out. They were given to WikiLeaks. We've gotten some, too, at the Gray Zone. And they show in great detail what happened here, what a cover-up this was, and anybody can see the facts for themselves. Now, instead of grappling with these facts, the OPCW, as you said, has attacked these whistleblowers. At the UN Security Council, when Jose Bustani, the former OPCW chief, came to speak out in support of these dissenting inspectors, the U.S. and its allies blocked him from speaking. So when you won't let the actual scientists speak, when you won't let their evidence be weighed, and when you're preventing top officials like Mr. Bustani from speaking at the UN Security Council, it tells you something. It tells you that there is something to hide. It's a cover-up. And that is why this week this letter came out featuring a number of prominent signatories, Daniel Ellsberg, Noam Chomsky, Tulsi Gabbard, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, as well as five former OPCW officials calling this out. And the reason why, as you say, these lies can lead to war. We know the consequences from the Iraq, yes, from the Iraq war of going to war based on lies. And even now today, these allegations of chemical attacks in Syria are being used to justify the ongoing U.S. military occupation there and the sanctions that are destroying Syria, preventing the import of food and medicine, destroying Syria's economy, preventing it from rebuilding. And that is not good for Syrians. It's not good for Americans. It's only good for warmongers in Washington.
Amen. And again, I don't relish pointing this out. This happened during the Trump administration. This was Mike Pompeo. This was Nikki Haley at the UN. When they come to say, when the actual investigators come to say, hey, the report they put out was bogus, a whistleblower, you know, transparency and stuff, Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo jump into action and block them from speaking to the world at the UN. This was the Trump administration. It will go on again in the Biden administration, trust me, because the same kind of people are in control. Biden has got an especially bad cabinet for war stuff, but so did Trump. So did Obama. And what is so sick about this, it's sad to me on a human level, and I don't know why it's not more sad to other people. I guess we just don't really, you know, we haven't ever seen wars here. We don't get our streets and cities and schools and churches bombed here. So we just maybe can't put ourselves in that space. Based on these lies, and you think about how the media so willingly went out and said Assad gassed his own people. Look at this. He gassed his own. And then Trump launches, you know, twice this happened. Trump launches his Tomahawk attacks from the warships out into Syria. The true fact of the matter is you've got people at the governmental level, your Mike Pompeo's, your Nikki Haley's, your Elliot Abrams, your John Bolton's. These people are pushing this lie, censoring the truth, and it leads to actual deaths. To those of you out there who are admirably pro-life, what do you think about the fact that your government will actually suppress the truth just to give themselves an excuse to bomb innocent people and now starve them out and deprive them of medicine and deprive them of their own oil resources to rebuild their country? We're supposed to be the cowboys in the white hats. They still try to tell us that we are, but we're just not. It's no reflection on the American people. It is on the people that we elect and continue to allow to run U.S. foreign policy. The Syrian attacks never happened. They were staged to continue this stuff. And Mike Pompeo knows it. And he's about to ask you to vote for him to be president of the United States in 2024 or senator from Kansas next year. And you think because he was loyal to Donald Trump, he must be one of the good guys. I've told you for 4 years, he's not. He's a disaster. And the warmongers like him, I don't know how they sleep with themselves knowing that they cause innocent people to suffer and die. But they do it every day. They do it with a smile on their face. They sleep soundly at night, and then they ask you for a vote the next day. I don't know how they do it. I can't understand a human being operating that way. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I'll tell you, I'm glad that the end of the show is kind of peppy. And like I say, I've got some musical numbers coming up. The left is putting out hit after hit. It's a little bit of social justice stuff. It's even got a little bit of some Broadway vaccine hits that are coming out. Pretty amazing, because this other stuff that's covered, it's not fun. You know, listen to this. You talk about Syria. We're looking at this report that was lied about. I mean, all of these, the media, the government, people around the world just lied about this stuff. Listen to this. And I just think this is horrific. This is at the United States' hands. This is in our name. They passed a law called the CSER Act on the 17th of June last year. United States did. This is harsh sanctions against Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian leader. You know, because of these kinds of chemical attacks that never actually happened, but it doesn't stop us from sanctioning everybody. In the last 9 months, since June 17th of last year, this act has helped raise the number of Syrians who were close to starvation to 12.4 million people, or 60% of the population. You know, George Bush told you they hate us before our freedoms. And we believed that, didn't we? Why did they attack us on 9/11? Why don't those Muslims like us? They're just bloodthirsty people. Well, I got to tell you, there's probably a lot of Syrians not real fond of the United States right now. If we've got 60% of their population at the brink of starvation at our hands, it's just, it's one of these things, I can't not talk about it. I just can't not bring it up, because I think that somewhere deep down in everybody's heart, no matter how propagandized you've been, no matter how much of a supporter you are of one president or another, or if you think Mike Pompeo was the greatest Secretary of State, there's got to be somewhere down in your heart where you just go, that's not right. That's not right. They may have a terrible government over there. Their leader may be horrible. But the way to fix that is not to starve out 60% of another sovereign country, half a world away, that has done nothing to us. That's not right. I don't care how much you love Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo. We're doing it right now, too, under Joe Biden. If you're on the left, you think Joe Biden, thank goodness you got Joe Biden, not Donald Trump. You should still just despise Joe Biden for the war crimes he is committing. And I believe essentially every president since Kennedy should be tried on war crimes. Many other leaders around the world, too, before you jump up, oh, he's anti-American. Every president has committed atrocious war crimes that if any other country had done them, we would want them tried in front of The Hague. But we've got the current warmonger in chief. He was asked yesterday about when we're leaving Afghanistan. Trump was supposed to get us out by May 1st. This is what he had to say.
The answer is that it's going to be hard to meet the May 1 deadline.
Well, what a shock.
Just in terms of tactical reasons, it's hard to get those troops out. So what we've been doing, what I've been doing, and what Secretary Blinken has been doing, has been we've been meeting with our allies, those other nations that have NATO allies who have troops in Afghanistan as well.
And we're trying to figure out some kind of a reason or create some kind of event that makes us have to stay in Afghanistan.
And if we leave, we're going to do so in a safe and orderly way.
I mean, because, look, you can't just rush us out. 20 years isn't enough time to put together a coherent withdrawal plan. Come on, man. 20 years we have been in this country. Biden acts like, oh, well, we can't rush this thing.
We're in consultation, I say, with our allies and partners and how to proceed. And Secretary Blinken is meeting in Brussels this week with our NATO allies.
And they're the same NATO allies that were involved in lying about Syria to keep us involved in Syria. Yeah, this is a big, fat, red flag warning on a false flag event. You will hear of something the Taliban does, or maybe you'll start hearing of Iranian influence in Afghanistan. I'm just sitting on the edge of my seat wondering what they're going to do. What will they create to keep us in Afghanistan, when the real reason is those poppy fields?
Particularly those who have forces there. And General Austin is just met with Kayani, and I'm waiting for the briefing on that. He is the leader, quote, in Afghanistan and Kabul. And there's a UN-led process that's beginning shortly on how to mechanically get people, how to end this war. But it is.
Do you know what Ron Paul said? I, he hate to keep going back to Ron Paul. Ron Paul said the most succinct, common sense thing you can possibly say. And boy, if this man had been president, I think he would have actually done it. Not just talked about it, but actually done it. He said, we march right in, we can march right out. See, they act like it's really complicated. Don't we have a military where the whole thing is based? I mean, isn't, I've not served in the military. I don't know anything about defense logistics, any of these kinds of things. But isn't a lot of the training and the things that go into the military, isn't it about taking assets and moving them from one place to another with some level of rapidity? Isn't that important if you are going to be the world's policeman? Got a hot spot here, somebody's misbehaving there. Now, I disagree with sending our troops all over the place addressing these things, but isn't that what they do? We got a new terror cell in Somalia. Boom. 6 days later, you got a bunch of guys there. We need to go to Sierra Leone. Boom. They're gone from there. They're in another place. But for some reason in Afghanistan, it's just taken 20 years to really, we really got to dot our I's and cross our T's. We can't rush into this thing to get out of Afghanistan.
It's not my intention to stay there for a long time. But the question is, how?
What will the people behind me, the people actually running my administration, what do they want to do? That is what the question is.
How and in what circumstances do we meet that agreement that was made by President Trump to leave under a deal that looks like it's not being able to be worked out to begin with? How's that done? But we are not staying a long time.
Yeah, that's it. I think I've heard that before. Have we heard that before? We'll be greeted as liberators. That's what I believe they said about Iraq in 2003. We're still there. We're not only not greeted as liberators in Iraq right now, they are chanting to get us out. We won't leave. And this is the great failing of Donald Trump, in my estimation. I love that. The greatest thing about Donald Trump is that he woke up the right, woke up Republicans, woke up conservatives to these endless wars, and he finally had the courage to say, we need to get out of the Middle East. And that changed a lot of people's minds, the direction of it. For too long, conservatives and Republicans have felt like part of your pride in being an American was the fact that we could go over and whoop butt anywhere we wanted to because we had this great professional military. That's not the sign of a great country. The Soviet Union had a big professional military. China right now has a great big professional military. But going into other countries and beating them up, particularly smaller, weaker countries, would not be a sign of Russian greatness or Chinese greatness, I wouldn't think. It is not with the United States either. So it's great that Donald Trump got people into that way of thinking, a little bit of anti-war. He gave cover to you to think that, oh, being anti-war doesn't mean I'm anti-troop, because every time anybody talks up against the wars, people call them traitors and tell them they don't support the troops. And Trump gave conservatives cover to finally come out and say, yeah, this is kind of ridiculous after 20 years. So that was the great part about Donald Trump. The big failing of Donald Trump is he didn't just do it. The fact that May 1st of the next administration was his deadline when he had been there for 4 years, his deadline should have been May 1st of his first year in office, 2017. And I do not believe it is a coincidence that Trump didn't get us out of any places. He didn't start any new wars. Right about that. I'll give him credit for that. That's how low the bar is. Hey, we didn't invade and murder a bunch of more innocent people anywhere. That's the bar for success as president of the United States right now. But Trump never fully got us out of there. So Biden is putting more troops into Syria because we already had a footprint there. It's not even really news. It's just troop levels. It's different when you invade a country that you're not in. That's news. And people pay attention to that. They don't pay attention to troop levels. And Trump left our footprint all over the Middle East, didn't get us out of Iraq, didn't get us out of Afghanistan, didn't get us out of Syria, didn't get us out of Libya, didn't get us out of Somalia. So now all Biden and his warmongers have to do is just move a few troops around. And we will be there through another 4 years of this administration or, 6 months of the Biden administration and 7 years of the Kamala Harris administration, however it turns out, or whatever. If you actually still believe the Mike Pompeo stuff and you're going to vote for that nut job, wacko psychopath for president of the United States, we'll be there for his 4 or 8 years, too. Trump should not have left us in these countries. We should have gone out. Every single man, woman, and contractor paid by the U.S. government should have come out of those countries. So it would have hamstrung Biden. I don't think it was a mistake that he didn't do that. I think his warmongering cabinet and his advisors who profit off of these wars made sure that he said all the right things about ending these wars, but kept us in there to, you know, to allow us to make sure that we don't ever have to actually leave. Big failing of Donald Trump.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're about to close out another week with This Week on the Crazy Train, as we do, as we see our world descend into madness.
All aboard!
I've always got a lot of stuff COVID-based because it has got to be some of the most insane stuff that I'm seeing out there each and every week now on for a year. Have you seen the new COVID nose masks? Have you seen these things? They leave your mouth completely wide open. This is so you can keep a mask on your nose while you eat through your mouth. This is actually a thing. Somebody is producing them. Some people are wearing them. When it comes to Europe, it is good to know maybe we're not the only ones going insane. This is what's happening in Europe right now, and I'm afraid, gotta tell you, I'm a little suspicious this is coming to our shores.
Turning now to the pandemic, health officials are growing more concerned about a new surge in coronavirus cases.
Surge.
Overnight, Germany reversed course and imposed a strict new lockdown through Easter. Back in this country, 21 states are seeing cases rise. Some states, like New Jersey, are pausing their reopening plans. The CDC is pleading with Americans to avoid traveling.
The continued relaxation of prevention measures while cases are still high and while concerning variants are spreading rapidly throughout the United States is a serious threat to the progress we have made as a nation.
You know what would be even worse for COVID outcomes than reopening schools and businesses for the progress that we've made? Maybe this.
And Krispy Kreme's new offer won't help you lose those pounds.
No, the company is giving away a free donut every day to people who can prove that they've received a coronavirus vaccine. The offer runs until the end of the year.
Free donut every year for people if they get a vaccine for a virus that kills people who are overweight. That's America for you. The propaganda continues in all the worst places in the world. My kids never got into Sesame Street. Does anybody still watch Sesame Street? Apparently it's still a thing because they're using it to propagandize to our children.
Oscar.
This is, oh, he's going to announce himself. This is Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch here to tell you, to wear a mask out in public around other people. Sure, it'll keep you healthy, but more importantly, I won't have to see your happy, smiling face. And if you don't want to wear a mask, I've just got one thing to tell you. Scram! Go away!
Caring for each other because we are all in this together.
So wear a mask and have a rotten day, will ya?
Is right. There's Oscar the Grouch telling your children to make sure they wear the face diaper. All right, this one I've played before, but I just can't resist playing it again. This one was originally in my This Week on the Crazy Train segment of notes, so it will remain here just because I thought it was so pathetic. This is the guy. He was with the BBC. Here was his reaction to getting notification that he was going to be able to get his shot. It's so touching.
Welcome to Click. I would like to share with you some personal joy, if I may. I was getting ready to film the program this morning when I got the best text message that I think I've received in years, inviting me to get my first dose of the vaccine.
Congratulations.
Oh,
I presume
congratulations.
You acted on it.
Yeah, sure did. Took about 3 or 4 clicks, I think, and I'm booked in for later this afternoon. So it was easy. I did that, then I had a big cry.
He signed up for his vaccine, then he had a big cry. Whew. I'm telling you, we got a lot of estrogen flowing around in the male population these days. And speaking of estrogen in the male population, if you're a Broadway fan, you've liked the music from Broadway, well, they're taking it to some new levels here in some... I'll just let it tell itself here.
It's vaccination day.
Woohoo!
It's vaccination day.
Oh.
It's vaccination day. Appointments are open. I'm group 4. I don't have to stay here anymore. I'm sick of eating takeout on these plates. The time indoors has got me stressed, but I just checked on CVS. Finally, they're giving me some tape. I'll see actual real-life people. It'll be totally strange. I might even get to go see a game. For the first time in forever, I'll hang out with someone else. Love you.
This guy. How many people seriously have not seen another human being for the past 12 months? Is this? I think he actually says the word fear in this song. It is... I don't know why I find this just strikingly disturbing.
But for the first time in forever, I won't watch sports by myself. Because you don't like sports, you know. I could go to a bar with buddies. You're the best. I don't have to live in fear. Love you. For the first time in forever, I won't be right here.
Guys, I'm really proud of you in quarantine. Kids, you've worked really hard. And honey, I think our relationship's gotten a lot tighter now that we've been in closer space. I gotta get on a plane now. Bye!
I'll sit in a seat that cramps my knees. And I won't care because at least I'm free. But then I'm going to an indoor place.
I gotta tell you, I can't tell you. It goes on for a little bit longer. I can't tell you. Maybe I need to get this vaccine. There's a lot of joy in this vaccine, isn't there? Holy cow. This is another thing when you talk about propagandizing to your children. This may be one I will warn you against. Make sure that your school library does not contain this item. Be on the lookout for this one. Our children do not need to learn any examples from something they're rolling out on them now.
We have seen him a lot on TV during the coronavirus pandemic, but now Dr. Anthony Fauci is the star of a children's book. The book is called Dr. Fauci, How a Boy from Brooklyn Became America's Doctor. And it's all about Fauci's life. I spoke to the author, Kate Messner, about the doctor's time in Massachusetts.
Dr. Fauci is really interesting from a scientist perspective because he's...
So is Dr. Mengele. From a historical perspective, I think they will be viewed the same in history, given enough time.
A scientist who really values the liberal arts as well. And he talked about that both as it relates to his Jesuit high school, Regis High School in New York, and College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, because he was pre-med, but he was also studying philosophy and history and literature. And he values that so much as far as broadening his perspective on the world, which is really important for a scientist and somebody whose job involves so much communication with people.
Boy, I'd like to see the philosophy that Anthony Fauci has been following. That must be a terrifying way of living. And if you're wondering what the sequel will be, the Oregon Health Authority on Thursday announced it is monitoring 4 people for Ebola after those people recently returned from Guinea and Democratic Republic of Congo, 2 West African countries in the middle of Ebola outbreaks. So let me get this straight. These people flew to Guinea and the Democratic Republic of Congo and back. And I would imagine at some point during their travels on the way back to Oregon, they were tested for coronavirus. We just didn't really get around to checking and see if they had gotten Ebola, which is an actual real disease. All right, I got some clips from Biden, Dems, and the media when we come back, and some more Broadway hits. We've got even show tunes to go along with the new Relief Act. You can't make this stuff up, as they say. I'll be right back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, final segment of the week. I always leave you on Fridays with my best piece of advice I can give you for a weekend, and that is to check out Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. We got the Sweet 16 coming up this weekend. You want to catch a game? They got plenty of televisions in there. Fantastic food, 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas made the way that you want them. You can either order off of their menu. I like the Nat and the Lineage in particular. I don't like cooked peppers, though. I do to get them to take the peppers off, not because their peppers are bad. I'm just not a cooked peppers guy. But anyway, I digress. They got pastas, they got paninis, salads, gelatos, brownies, they got craft beers, they got wine, got whatever you want. It's a great local business, fantastic place to go out and have something to eat. Nice little deck outside if we get some good weather. And this is a locally owned, veteran-owned business out there. You certainly should support them. Download the Your Pie app. You'll get points when you go in for different specials. It's all kind of communication from them when you sign up for their app. And you're going to go many times. If you try it once, you will go back several times. You might as well get the bennies from that. So make sure you download the Your Pie app. 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. And make sure you tell them Mike Madison sent you to them. All right. Let's see what we got here. Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki, the current press secretary for Joe Biden. I don't like press secretaries. The press secretary's job is to go out and lie. A press secretary, doesn't matter who the president is, doesn't matter who the administration is, it's to go out and spin and lie to the American people, telling you that your government is always doing the right thing under their administration. Jen Psaki is just particularly bad at it. I will say Kayleigh McEnerney, Trump's last press secretary, was extremely good at it. I didn't believe anything she really necessarily said most of the time because they are spinmeisters. Jen Psaki, though, Biden, she's flailing. She's just not very good.
Interviewed some children that were in facilities. The children described sleeping on the floor, being hungry, not seeing the sun for days. How is that acceptable for the Biden administration to keep children in those sorts of conditions, given the fact that she said you were in an administration that was going to be more humane than the previous one?
Look, I got to tell you, it's almost stunning to me they're even asking these questions. Is it not surprising to you? I mean, this is a little bit harder than a softball to the Biden administration from the mainstream press. I almost want to say I'm a little impressed that they're even covering the issue.
Please, let me first say this is heartbreaking. It's a very emotional issue for a lot of people, and it's very difficult and challenging. And obviously, these TBP facilities are not made for kids. So one of the reasons or a driving reason why the president has pushed to take all of the actions that I outlined earlier when Phil asked the question is because we want to expedite getting these kids out of these TBP facilities as quickly as possible. And that's our goal and our objective, mm-hmm. and into shelters as quickly as possible, then into sponsored homes while their cases are being considered and adjudicated. We are trying to work through what was a dismantled and unprepared system because of the role of the last administration. It's going to take some time.
So there it is. Took a little longer to get to it than I thought. But yeah, they're blaming Donald Trump from the mess on the border right now. That takes some gall right there. This is just kind of interesting. These statistics are pretty humorous. The mainstream media, as bad as they went after Donald Trump and said that they hated him, it turns out they really, really needed him.
former President Trump's exit from the White House coincided with a slump in ratings for cable news channels and digital news sites, according to a Washington Post analysis. Data from media tracking firm ComScores, as well as the Nielsen Company, indicated drops in traffic across websites for the Post, which lost roughly 1/4 of its monthly web traffic, Boom. As well as the New York Times, which lost roughly 17% of its traffic over January and February. In the cable news rating wars, CNN lost 50% of its primetime audience over the first few months of 2020, according to the Post, while MSNBC lost more than 1/4, and Fox News lost just 6%, causing CNN to lose its briefly won ratings dominance for the month of January.
CNN lost 50% of their audience when Trump left. Wow. I thought this was kind of interesting. We've got one of our first Joe Biden impersonations coming from Dana Carvey. He's kind of come out with the first one. I thought it was pretty good.
Counters.
Yes.
Folks, come on, folks. Let's get real. I'm not kidding around here. You know, we got to do the thing. We did Barack. We did the deal, you know. And, my dad, you know, lost his job in Scranton. No joke. I'm not being a wise guy here. He said, Pops, why'd you lose? He said, Joe, I did. My mom said, that's the cookie. But the crumble, she says, do it. You know, and here's the deal. Number one, the thing that they said. Come on. Number two, the two part. Folks, three, you know. Come on, I'm not kidding around. No rocket science. Here's the deal. Come on now. Now, that he told. He knew it floated. He told Bob Woodward. Joanne Woodward. He told Bob Redford. Excuse me. But
there we go. I got to tell you, I thought that was pretty good. Let's see what we go to next here. I got a few minutes left. Let's see. I don't know. I segment my things into COVID, Biden, Democrats, in the media. That's another segment. And then just plain crazy. I don't know. Maybe this one isn't good for lunchtime, but I just ran across this headline. Gigantic 59-foot tapeworm emerges from man's bum. Just thought, I don't know, seems normal for the times we're living in. Gigantic 59-foot tapeworm emerges from man's bum after he complained of flatulence. Well, I got to tell you, maybe that's good news. They've got this tapeworm out. The man's not flatulent anymore. Maybe Bill Gates will stop harassing us for greenhouse gases. Maybe global warming has been fixed. I thought this was interesting. It's kind of like education. You know, we've seen what's happened to education over the years. Essentially, as grades have gone down, as our children have learned less, as we've scored worse, they just continually lower the bar, right? I mean, that's how we react to these things. Instead of doing the hard work of returning to a time where kids actually got educated, they just continue to. I've heard right now they're getting rid of the ACT and the SATs. I was talking to a friend the other night. I didn't even know they had the super score in the ACTs now. They didn't have this when I was a kid. Where you take your highest score from each segment. You can take the thing 10 times, and they pick out your highest in each segment of those 10 and combine it into one score. Man, we had one shot. You go in, you get a score. You didn't do good, take it again. That's your score. That was it. Anyway, the dictionary, I don't know if this is Webster's.com or wherever. So supposedly and finna are both added now to the dictionary. Supposedly being mispronounced for years and years, instead of correcting people and going back to the accurate thing, they've just added it to the dictionary. And finna, you know, that is the fixin' to thing. We are lowering the bar across the board. All right, I'm going to finish up with this just because it's so uplifting. Your Broadway interpretation of Joe Biden's Relief Act.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Oh.
Competent leaders getting us back on our feet. Woo. The American Rescue Plan, it has almost everything.
For everybody.
A year into this mess, recovery unfolds. How many wonders can one rescue plan hold? Reading it over, you'd think, really? No Republicans voted for this thing.
Boo.
It's got direct relief to American families. It's got a path to reopen our schools.
Yay.
Cost of child care? Tax credits, baby. It's like they care.
Oh, they care.
It's a big deal. But wait, there's more.
More?
Don't you want to be where the people are?
Yes, please.
Don't you want to go? Want to go out dancing, having convos with those? What are they called again? Oh, yeah, friends.
Oh.
Some folks thought we could reopen bars, but good strategy is required to reopen safely. And now by May 1st, we can all get the vaccine.
Oh.
Then we can talk. Then we can hug our friends and our family and our loved ones. It's exciting to see a shift in ideology. A plan for our world.
Oh, the Joe Biden administration is ushering in such wonderful things for us all. Maybe we need to rethink our views of Joe Biden. Holy cow. Broadway, full-on propaganda. That's all the time I got. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.